For anyone that's like, what's going on here? What's all this about? Let me kind of explain it this way. Remember when you were a kid and you watched the films and the movies and the kind of the miraculous stuff happened? You know, it always happens in the movies, doesn't it? There's always that point where it seems like it's failed and it's never going to happen. And then it just happens to turn around and it happens. And then you watch the movies and the miracles happen. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. I remember watching Superman as a kid. I must have been about 10 or maybe, I don't know, maybe 7. I'll go with 7 because it's a bit more acceptable what I'm going to say. And I came out of the cinema and I believed I could fly. I was ready to put my hand up in the air and expecting to kind of shoot off and fly. I kind of got into that movie, you know. And it was like, wow, it was dead exciting, wasn't it? And then you go through life and you get excited about stuff and then it doesn't happen. So then you start to think, that's not going to happen. That's kind of maybe not me, or maybe that's just for someone else. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Miracles happen. Miracles happen. And the way that miracles happen, you see, God's no mystery. He has revealed himself completely to us. He is not a mystery at all. And the way he did that was in the person and in the life of Jesus Christ. We don't have to, when people say, what's God like? All you need to do is just read the Gospels. Read beyond the Gospels as well to Paul and his letters and Revelation and all of those books. And it shows you what God is like. And I would sum God up this way. He is two essential, important things. He's lots of things. He's holy. He's truth. He's love. But the two really important things, maybe four or five important things. There's so many in there. They're all important, aren't they? But the two I like are his power and his love. His power and his love. Because love without power, what use is that? You know, people kind of like read the Bible and they see his power and they think, oh, maybe God shouldn't. Maybe you can't be powerful and loving at the same time. But God can. He's everything. He's our provider. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He is everything. He's able to be more than one thing at a time. Us, you're either a guitarist or a drummer, or you get the odd person that's multi-talented and he can sing and play at the same time, like this guy next to me. God can do everything. He could get up here and boss a lot. He could sit where you are. He could do what I'm doing. He could do it all. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It is God's presence. He is God's presence here on earth. Listen to this. It says all the believers devoted themselves. This is in Acts. This is Acts chapter 2, right at the very end. An amazing portion of scripture. If you've got a heart for church life, for church, building church, anything like that, you have to know these verses. It goes from verse 42. It says this: all the believers devoted themselves. Everyone say devoted themselves. This is what they did, right? This is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, brackets including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing in meals and prayer. Teaching's the word. Fellowship is coming to church, because we could just whack this on a podcast. We do put it on a podcast. You could just listen to this on the podcast, couldn't you? But that's not fellowship, you see. That doesn't work. We have to be here. You're needed. Your presence is needed. Sharing in meals, it's hospitality. That's love, isn't it? That's getting your arm around someone and helping them out, someone who hasn't got a meal. And to pray. And to pray. Prayer is faith. But it goes on to say this. It explains what happened next. When they did that, it says this. It says, the consequence of that was this. These consequences, these things now that I'm about to read, they don't happen naturally. And you'll all go, yeah, that does. I don't naturally just do that of myself, you know. But these are consequences of doing these things. It says, this says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. A deep sense of awe of the wonder of God and who He is. The Almighty, His power, His majesty, His authority. You ever seen the Queen when she's in all her regalia? It often happens, she didn't do it at the state opening because she wanted to get off to Royal Ascot. Seriously, that was what was going on. She wanted to get off to, apparently she's never missed a day in all of her years, but she wanted to get off to Royal Ascot. But often when they open Parliament again, she'll have the orb and the hat the crown and all that stuff. A deep sense of that came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place. All the believers met together in one place. They came and they met together. They were together. There was a desire on them to be in the house of the Lord, to be together, to be in the presence of God. The Lord honoured the Lord's day. In fact, it was the Sabbath before the Lord came, Friday night through to Saturday night. But when the Lord came, the Sunday is the Lord's day. It's different to the Sabbath. That's why we don't do it Friday night to Saturday night. That's why we don't do it when the Jews do it. This is the Lord's day. He instituted a new ordinance, the Lord's day. This is His day. It is that we devote this day to Him and to Him alone. That He is number one on a Sunday. That we put Him first on a Sunday. That we make sure that above all else that we're in His house, that we're with His people, that we're with Him on a Sunday. And all the believers met together in one place and they shared everything they had. They shared it all. They shared it all. Anything you need, if I've got it, if I've got two of it, you can have one. It's what's mine is yours. We have that in our house to say to Vicky, what's yours is mine and what's mine's me own. Yeah, I bought myself a Viennetta and I marked it for me and me alone. I wouldn't let anyone eat it and I was told off for it. You can't have five kids. You can't leave anything for 2 minutes in our house. Anyway, stop heckling me. In Jesus' name, stop heckling me. They sold their property and possessed. We don't like this one, do we? See, this doesn't come naturally, does it? You're listening to this. I'm not saying this. This ain't me, by the way. This ain't me. This is in the Bible. It's in there. Verse 44. No, it's not 45. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Everyone say generosity. And all the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill. Do you know, I love that word, goodwill. Goodwill is that, it's kind of earned goodwill, isn't it? You know, when you know someone and you've known them and then they just generate that goodwill. And goodwill is not so much about others towards you, it's about you towards others. It's who in your circle, who in your life is God saying, I need to show that goodwill to those people. I need to be generous to those people. I need to help those people out and to be there for them. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, and here's the best bit about it. But these are all consequences. They all come one after another. And all the people, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Where are we at with the others? It's great praying a prayer and just wanting people to be saved and wanting to see revival in the church. But actually what God's saying here is no, it's about us doing stuff. When we do those things, then those things follow. When we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, when we devote ourselves to fellowship, when we devote ourselves to sharing in meals, when we devote ourselves to prayer, then a deep sense of awe will come over us all. Then the apostles will perform miraculous signs and wonders. Then all the believers will meet together in one place, sharing everything they've got. Then they will sell their property and possessions and share their money with those in need. Then they will worship together at the temple each day, meeting in homes for the Lord's supper. Then they will share their meals with great joy and generosity. Then, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, then each day the Lord adds to their fellowship those who were being saved. If I was God, I don't think I would add those who... Notice, you get the impression when you read this that it's people who are getting saved out there and then coming in here. They're not necessarily coming in here and getting saved. They're getting saved out there and then they're coming in. The Holy Spirit is drawing them. He's drawing them, church. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is drawing people in this day, in Warrington, in Widnes. He's drawing people. And what he's looking for is a place where he can send them. Where can I send my people? Where can I send my people? And he will send them to the place where all the believers have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals and to prayer. He'll send them to the place where after that, the deep sense of awe has come over them. Miraculous signs. Meeting together, sharing everything they've got, selling things, worshipping together. Lord's supper, sharing meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Are we getting this? Are we getting this? We can't just ask God to do it without us doing our bit first. He's done his bit. Really, there's an argument to say God doesn't have to do anything. This will just happen as a natural consequence. God has done everything that he needed to do. He's done it all. He said on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Finished. It is finished. The apostles then were changed. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the apostles were changed. The believers were changed. Suddenly it was them going out and healing people. Suddenly it was them going out and performing miracles. They weren't calling on the Lord to do it anymore. They were going and doing it themselves. In fact, in some instances, they weren't even doing it. They were just walking around and people were falling at the feet around them. It was just happening. Because they were devoted. They were devoted, church. And you know what? I'm not asking you to do anything that I've not done. I've given my life to this. I've burnt all the bridges. There's no going back. I've got no plan B. I've let it all go. I've probably been out of teaching that long now. It'd be difficult to get back in it, although the state of teaching would probably let anyone in at this stage. But anyway, I couldn't face going back into it. I've burnt my bridges. I've given everything, that's it. I'm not asking anything that I've not done. I'm not asking for perfection. You know, messing up and getting things wrong and making mistakes is completely and utterly acceptable to God. But not devoting yourself, not being passionate, not giving him everything 100%. It's just a commitment that we make. Not doing that, not saying, God, I give you it all. Everything. Take my life. Take me. You've got the lot. Whatever you want, whatever you desire of me, I'm yours and I will do it. Not doing that is what's not acceptable. It's that. Might sound like a harsh word. Don't often preach this kind of stuff. But it's true. I just want to draw a couple of things out of that. At that point when you were in hospital, they were telling you you were going blind, weren't they? Yeah. It was bigger than how you made it out. It was serious. They were saying, there's nothing we can do here. You are going blind. And it was a miracle that you got your sight back. Mm. I want to draw on something else that really inspired me about Ian. And that's and he's not made a big deal about this either, that he's at the moment, right? Do you mind me asking how old you are, Ian? 51. So Ian's 51. He's working as a teaching assistant? Or yeah, it is, isn't it? In Wigan. He gets the bus all the way to Wigan from Warrington every morning. Is it about 7:15, 6:30 in the morning, something like that? You leave the house. 2.5 hours one way and 2.5 hours back. He's teaching the kids there. But alongside that, he's doing an open university course to get his degree, which is in...
Genocidal studies.
And he has got a real desire and a vision that he is going to be... Is it a curator? It's a curator, isn't it? I want to get this right. A curator in a museum. And he is doing all of this because he has got a vision of what he wants to do. And I think that is amazing. I think at 51 to be doing that, I am so, so impressed. It would be so easy with everything that he's been through and all the knockbacks and you know, and to say, well, take it easy, or this is a hardworking man who's realised the voice of the Lord. And God's with him. And Ian, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for strength for you. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this man, Lord. Lord, I thank you for his testimony, Lord. If he didn't know you, Lord, I wouldn't be sharing this story. I might just be hearing of it myself and thinking that's impressive, Lord. But because, Lord, he knows you, Lord, because he knows your voice, Lord, because he knows your presence and your peace in his life, Lord, and your direction, Lord, and he knows that commitment to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, because of that, Lord, he is a great example, Lord. His light, Lord, of your light, Lord, in him, Lord, shines for others to see, Lord, as an inspiration, Lord. I know for those children in school as well, Lord, that he it shines to them whatever opportunity he gets, Lord, to be a good example to them, Lord, to be a light in that school, Lord. And I know that when he becomes that curator, Lord, he will do the same there, Lord. He wants to get truth out, Lord, and he's got a passion, Lord, for something, Lord, that you have placed within him, Lord, that you have placed within him, Lord. So I just pray for strength, Lord, strength for the rest of the journey, Lord, for where you're taking him, Lord, vision, Lord, not just, Lord, a physical vision, Lord, but more of that vision, Lord, that you give us, that spiritual vision, Lord, of showing us things that aren't as if they are, Lord, speaking things forth into existence, Lord, because that is the power, Lord, that you give us to do, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Ian's life, Lord, and thank you for his inspiration to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, Ian. Bless you, Ian.